We tonight are going to, among other things, have this as an opportunity to have a deacon it nominated and elected tonight, as I visited with you this morning and last week as well. And so I think it'd be real appropriate for us to be able to go to our Bibles in Acts chapter 6 and see the reason that God even planned this in the first place. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Read with me in verses 1 through 7. The Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 1, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." So the church was taking care of the widows, but not all of them were getting their portion. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." In other words, evidently somebody was knocking on their door saying, "You guys got to fix this problem." And they're saying, "Well, we shouldn't leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." God really blessed that work that was done there in the choosing of these disciples to be deacons. Before we go any further, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us with our study tonight. Father, we're very thankful to be here. Very thankful, Father, that You have given us such a ministry as this. And actually, Father, it's not so much that You gave it to us as that You have entrusted us with the responsibility for things that You want to accomplish in this church. And You've given us men and women who faithfully serve You in many capacities to take care of all the things that are necessary for this ministry. And we're very, very thankful for that, Father. We ask You, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless the work that we do in here through the preaching of the Scripture. And we ask You, please, to help us to be able to follow Your will in all that You've given us to do. For we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The office of a deacon, and the word is not mentioned here, but it is the function these men carried on. The office of a deacon is a spiritual office in a practical ministry. In other words, if all there was to do is to minister the word and pray, if there was nothing else associated with the ministry, then the apostles could have handled it. But as soon as it included business, and that's the word that was used in verse 3, whom we may appoint over this business, as soon as the ministry involved business, and as soon as it involved necessity to take care of practical matters, and in this case, a ministry to widows, then suddenly there was a requirement for good men to be able to help with the responsibilities, because the burdens of the ministry were beginning to prevent the men who were pastoring the church or who were apostles among those sheep in Jerusalem from getting their own spiritual food and their own spiritual power that they needed in order to feed the flock. You see, the ministry of the word and this need to continue in prayer are two things that prepare a minister. As I mentioned to you from a radio caller many years ago, he asked me, "Do you spend more time preparing the message or the messenger? And that's a very, very important question, because the message God has, any of us that have preached here any length of time, we know that. God has the message. What He needs is the messenger. And in order for the messenger to be prepared, he has to be praying, not only for the sheep, not only for the flock, but he has to be praying for his own preparation, and he has to be in the Word in order to be able to minister the Word. So if he gets sidetracked with the business of the ministry, then he can't do it. When I say he's going to get the spiritual food that he needs and the spiritual power that he needs, we're not talking about physical nutrition. We're talking obviously about Bible nutrition and being filled with the Spirit of God. So it became necessary then, and it becomes necessary in a church like this, to have men that are capable of helping in the daily ministration. There's something going on, really, in the sowing of the seed of the Word of God in this ministry every day. Saturday may be a possible exception, and even then you've got parades and other things like that that involve us, but there's radio and there's internet, and that's going out there all the time. And you're all passing out tracts and sowing the seed of the Word of God anywhere you go. In this society, that's a lot of places. And then there's nursing homes, and there's the ships, and there's the mission field where all these men are sowing the seed. There are a lot of things that go on in this ministry on a regular basis. So, if you think about today compared to then, the business that was bugging them was the daily ministration to the widows. I think today, with the requirements of maintenance and operation, there's probably more business associated with the ministry now. These guys all got to go to the temple. There wasn't a building for them to maintain. There was somebody else doing that. Here we've got buildings, plural, and those things have to be maintained. And things change. So with church building and church finances and church law and church visitation, there are all kinds of things that are involved in the ministry. One area that will weaken desperately is very similar to this. These men had widows that were there that they were being sure were properly and equally fed with whatever was being prepared for them. You know, we have people in the church who go through difficult things and they need people to visit them. Norma Bennett recently lost Dale Bennett. You know that she has to be struggling with that. Jerry Hibbetts recently lost Linda, and Edie recently lost Orville, and I could go backwards through that list. You know, Yvette recently lost Todd, and so we have all these things. And you know, honestly, to keep up with what we do on a regular basis, and also with them, it takes help. If the folks are going to get proper attention, particularly when somebody's in the hospital and other things like that, where you've got regular visits. And so deacons can be very, very helpful in those kinds of things. So the office is a spiritual office in a practical ministry, and therefore these men had to be, first of all, good cooks in order to be able to satisfy the widows. I know they had to be spiritual men. They had to be spiritual men. Because, you know why? Understand this in the context that I'm going to say it. They are an extension of the pastor's ministry. It's an unusual thing about pastoring. What will happen after a period of time, you'll see this. Churches will be without a pastor, and then they say, we got to go out and look for a pastor. And it's as if this guy is just going to come in, and he's just going to preach and take care. We'll take care of everything else, and then if we don't like him, we'll get rid of him, we'll get another guy. But in the founding of a local church, what happens is God puts it on the heart of an individual through the ministry of another church, like with Pastor Keck at First Bible Baptist Church, to start a church in an area. Lord willing, the Lord will give us an opportunity to start a church out of this ministry. All right, and when that happens, That church that is planted begins to grow as a result of what God has done in the life of that man that he calls to that area. And that it involves people that are getting saved, and people who get saved that begin to reproduce and tell their friends about the Lord Jesus Christ, and a church that then gets, you know, physical property like this, and associates, and lots of members, and missionaries, and all these other kind of things that go on. But all of these things, these Sunday school classes and all these are an outgrowth of, or an extension of, the pastor's ministry. And that's why this local church doesn't quite function like another local church. Because it takes on the flavor of what God is doing in that individual. That's why it's so difficult in a ministry like the Roloff Homes, when a man like Lester Roloff, who is so unique in his personality, so unique in his walk with the Lord, dies, and other men try to step in and keep that thing going, it's no longer the extension of that man's ministry. It's somebody trying to keep it alive in his memory. And as you've seen over the years, it just doesn't work very well. What we've noticed over the years is that when people come to this church, like all of you are, and get involved in aspects of the ministry, as long as they keep in mind that they are serving the Lord and an extension of the ministry that God has given to a pastor, everything functions like clockwork. As soon as a person comes and tries to build his own ministry within the ministry that God has given and make his own name and his own little thing, you know what happens? That piece falls apart. It's unusual. It's unusual how that is. God has blessed us with great associates because they've got such a good understanding of both of those things. They serve the Lord and they have excellent relationship with the Lord, but we function together as an extension of what God has given us in this ministry to pastor. That's a unique thing. You are blessed. And he's also given us qualified men who are deacons, that work in that. Because, you see, we don't have a ministry if God didn't set up Bible Believers Baptist Church. I mean, we have our individual relationships with the Lord and the things we do, but God's got something unique here. What's he going to do down the road? I don't know. If he said to me tonight, you know what? I want you to do. Go do something else. Then I'd be done. Because this is his ministry. It's the way it works. And so he has to give us spiritual men to assist in that. Now, what do you see in Acts chapter 6? They are, in verse 3, of honest report. Honest report. So men with integrity. They say something, you know you can count on their word because they stand by their word, and their word is good. I remember the days in the banking business whenever you used to be able to take an honest man by the hand, look him in the eye, shake his hand, he'd tell you what he was going to do, and he'd do it, and paper was not necessary. Today, they've got reams of paper, and dishonest men can find ways to get through that paperwork and not pay you. All right, honest report. Then he says, full of the Holy Ghost. Men who are yielded to the work of the Spirit of God in their lives, doing what God has called them to do. And notice something. Keep your finger where you are and turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to see something. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, notice this. First, I'm going to give you in verses 1 through 7, what we would say are the qualifications of a pastor. He's called the bishop, all right, but we're going to talk, and these are the qualifications of a pastor. This is a true saying, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. So you see that? All right, now watch. In verse 8 begins the qualifications for a deacon. And notice how similar they are to the qualifications for a pastor. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also be first proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly. So there's a lot of similarities. This is a very spiritual office. Now what's happened, some of you probably have experience with this, maybe from another church, is that over time what's happened is the office of a deacon was more about how much money and influence a fellow had, and they made him the deacon. Because that way the pastor could have kind of a buddy and he'd get kind of a lock on his pocketbook and so forth. Well, that sometimes really backfires because that deaconship becomes a deacon board, and the next thing, with all their power and influence, the pastor's gone, they go get somebody else. That's not what a deacon's office is. It's a man of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. Notice also the Bible says in verse 3 of Acts chapter 6, a man full of wisdom. A man full of wisdom. That's a man with whom you can seek counsel, and a person who represents well the ministry that he's called to help in. Not only did these men have to be spiritual, but the Bible also shows us that these men had to work. He says here, whom we may appoint over this business. Some people have said that the word deacon means to wait tables. Another definition they say is to run through the dust. Well, we don't have that for you to do unless we let things go to pot and there's a lot of dust around here. But the idea is it's the office of a servant. A servant. In other words, deacons are not set up as a ruling board or a group to run the church. They in this ministry were, what were they doing? They were waiting tables. They were serving. They were taking care of widows. And you know, these are things that go along in the ministry because you take care of carnal needs to minister to spiritual needs. I remember years ago when we lived in Beeville, I had a neighbor. We called him Pablo. And Pablo, I told him, he was one of the first persons I told. I said, Pablo, I'm resigning the bank. I'm going into the ministry full time. God's called me to preach. He said, young man, sit down. I want to tell you something. He said, years ago, I had a friend in the Methodist church. Pablo was Methodist. Had a friend in the Methodist church. And his wife got really sick. And the pastor never went to see him. And after his wife died, the pastor did the funeral, but he didn't go to see the fellow. And one day, about 6 months after she died, he went by to see the fellow. And he opened the door and said, oh, it's you. And he said, you're too late. Slam the door. He said, you know what the problem was? He didn't visit. He said, make sure to spend time with your folks. That's really important. Now, you know something? You got, as I said this morning, you got 200 people running around here. Kind of hard to go see everybody and get this ministry of the word and prayer done. But if you have deacons and other people in the church that serve well, then other people are ministered to. You know, I'll tell you, when Norma and Dale were in MD Anderson, they stayed there obviously longer than they intended to when they went back. They thought they would go and have some temporary work done and come back, and they didn't come back. Dale stayed there until he passed away. But there was a man, a friend of theirs, a relative of theirs, who was a member of Second Baptist Church in Houston. Second Baptist Church is the largest Baptist church in the United States, I think, and maybe in the world. At one time they had 54,000 members. I think they've got 75,000 members now. It's just huge. But you know what Norma said? Every week, a deacon from their church would come visit us while we were in the hospital and pray with us. And he would bring us a card from the second grade Sunday school class where the children said, "We're praying for you," and each one would sign their names to the card. And he would personally deliver that, minister to us, and pray with us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That was good. That church didn't get too big for its britches to be able to minister to folks. You see, that's why this is so necessary. That they'll never forget that. They'll never forget that ministry to them. That's a work. It's a carnal thing, but it also involves that spiritual opportunity as well. The third thing we notice is that the men had to be acceptable to the congregation. He says to them in verse 3, "Wherefore, brethren, look you out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom." Notice Stephen was also in verse 5, full of faith. Okay? And the saying pleased, verse 5, the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen and Philip and these other men. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So it did involve something acceptable to the flock. They were chosen from among the congregation. Notice also, they were installed with prayer and with the laying on of hands. In verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. There are only a couple of instances where you see that. You see that hand laid on a preacher, and you see the hand laid on these deacons, because they really are supposed to be doing work that really, really assists in the ministry. The prayer evidently was to bless them and to strengthen them and to give them wisdom so that they could use these spiritual qualities they had to benefit. And laying hands on them was an opportunity for those apostles to transfer to them a part of the ministry that the Lord had given to those apostles. It's like an offering. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. In Numbers chapter 11, Moses had complained to the Lord that it was too much to carry this load. Numbers 11:11. Moses said unto the Lord, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldst say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a sucking child under the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness." You think he was a little worn out? And the Lord, verse 16, said unto Moses, "Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them. And bring him unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone." So he gave them some helpers. And they began to bear some of the load. Now, this is what it's like. So what you've got then is you've got men with spiritual qualities, something the Spirit of God is doing in them, who are practical enough to roll up their sleeves and get involved in the work, who are acceptable to the congregation and installed with prayer and the laying on of hands to bear a part of the ministry so that the principal things given to the pastor could continue to be his responsibility. And let me show you. What God planned here worked beautifully. Look in verse 7. The word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So God blessed that and allowed the continual preaching and the continual prayer to bear fruit in numbers. The number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's a tremendous thing. So that's the practical aspect. Now, in our church, I'm going to read to you what deacons are supposed to do. We can use them even more than we have up to this point for certain things. But I'll say that our deacons that we have now, Blake and Doyle and Mike Haven, have been very involved and have rolled up their sleeves and gotten in the work very handily. Doyle and Don are down here just about every day of the week. They sit in Randy's office and they gossip about y'all. You think they're working down here, but that's not true. She's double-tongued and they're going to tell all the stuff. No, not at all. You know better than that. One day they showed up down here and rolled up their sleeves and said, "What can we do?" And I still remember those days, Doyle, when I was in that mobile mini and you were mowing that grass with your lawnmower, picking up that reclaimed asphalt in the blade of that thing. And I mean, I'd look out there sometimes and he was just engulfed in a cloud of dust of stuff that he'd hit with that blade. And I mean, it was not much grass and it was a whole lot of other stuff, but he was keeping it mowed. And they've been down here faithfully. I mean, almost too faithfully. Almost too faithfully. You get down here, I mean, when I say that, I mean, you can get down here and clean this place as thoroughly as they do. And if one of you comes here and moves something that's not supposed to be moved, they take it personally. They record your name, and if you do it again, they're going to get you. No. But you know what that is? You know what that is? It's just somebody that has just rolled up the sleeves and said, "This is something I can do." You know, and Mike and Debbie got involved and we said, you know, "You want to help us with the kids?" And then we roped them into it. And now they're knee deep and neck deep in Bible clubs and were in master clubs and all that. And he said, "Now I'll tell you what, I don't want to be a director of that. I'll go over there and help." Well, he's over there doing it now. But you know, that's an extension of our youth ministry. That is a very valuable thing that goes on over there on Wednesday night in Bible clubs. Because children need to know the Bible and not be entertained. And that's the kind of work that's being done over there. We really appreciate that. Blake got so involved with us just helping and praying and other things. And then now has been overwhelmed really by the care that is needed to take care of his wife. And so we're very grateful for that. Jerry, roll up your sleeves, buddy. If these guys vote you in, we got something for you to do. No. I'll tell you one of the things also I notice is that these men, they care. They'll ask about, sometimes check up on you. And I think even more so, you'll find them helping us to make sure that people are properly visited in this flock. I think I told you one time, many years ago, Benny and I were working cattle together at the Terrell, the ranch many of you hunted on, where we tried to kill some deer and stuff. We were over there working cattle. And now, you got to understand, I've been on horseback, but I'm not a cowboy, okay? I've just been on horse, so I'm riding over there, and we're gathering up cattle, and we're visiting. We got them close to the pens now, and as soon as we got them up to the pens, those cattle scattered. They went everywhere. And I turned to him, and I said, "Benny, these are the same cattle we have at Videra. These are the same cattle we have at Angelita. Why did these cattle blow out of this? I mean, right when we got them to the pens, I've never seen this." And he turned to me and smiled. He said, "The foreman of this ranch doesn't ride his cattle." Man, I never have forgotten that. You know what he meant? These cattle were not used to seeing and being around the foreman of this ranch, and so they weren't used to what was getting ready to happen. And I've never forgotten that. I think about that with what Paul said, and it's important to, you know, like for instance, we have the meet and greet time. I love that because we get it around at least to visit each other and have that time to talk with each other. And it's very important to be able to do that because we stay settled. And you know what? Deacons are a big help when it comes to that aspect of this ministry, helping to ride the herd. Let me read a little bit to you from our constitution, if you will. A deacon is a ministering servant. He is responsible for the temporal, secular, and social cares of the church as directed by the pastor. He is not to be chosen because of his natural talent, but because he is of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. The deaconship is dishonored when it is regarded as a post of honor rather than a medium of service, and when it becomes a medium of rule rather than of ministry. Service carries with it honor, but in the church, as elsewhere, service goes before honor, and real honor only comes of service. Then we have a section here that deals with the qualifications. You've seen those with me. And how they're selected. They're elected from among the members of the church, nominated by the pastor and the other deacons. We took a long time. Blake, I don't remember when it was you came to me and told me that you needed to take care of Donna more and more and didn't feel that you could carry on in your responsibilities. Was that 6 months ago? 4 months ago? A year ago? Well, maybe tonight. But the reason that I mention that is for this reason. The first thing we did is just took a lot of time to pray. What I've noticed in this ministry is this. It is true of every one of you that's in some capacity here, whether it's on the piano or song leading or cleaning or Sunday school or nursery or whatever. People say, you know, Pastor, I want to help. The Burns, when they came here, they said, Pastor, we want to help. And I told them they'd been involved in ministry and in a work. I said, you know what? Just sit a spell. Just sit a spell. Get used to this ministry. Get used to how things go. Get used to the preaching of the Bible as it's preached here and the way things go. And let's see what God does. And what I've noticed is a need will present itself. Right? And a person will present themselves. And that need and that person are right there together when it comes time. And so when you take time to pray and carefully consider these things, what I've noticed is that this person services. So Doyle was praying and Mike was praying, Blake was praying, and I got these guys together and I said, have you got any leadership from the Lord? Is there anybody that comes to mind? I said, yeah, Jerry Hibbets. Talk to Randy, talk to Tony, prayerfully considering these things. Same thing. When I finally talked to Jerry the other day, he said, you know, I was a deacon before. So it's something that God's already used in his life in another ministry years ago, which is an interesting thing. The deacon shall have only such duties as the pastor assigns him in addition to those duties listed herein. It is the essential nature of the deacon's office that it shields the pastor and protects him so that he may fulfill his distinct and peculiar function of prayer in the ministry of the Word of God. Discerning deacons will always find their highest usefulness in an intelligent and understanding support of the pastor to keep him free for his ministry. You hear that? I say that, but that's not really tongue-in-cheek. That's really, really a good thing. Every pastor must have some discerning spiritual men on whom he can lean. He needs this inner circle of prayerful deacons, a group of men who know, love, and understand him. These deacons immeasurably enrich the pastor and in return receive grace for grace. The pastor shall determine the number of deacons which shall serve, and three seems to be a good number still. Deacons shall be elected from time to time as the pastor deems necessary. The election may be for new deacons or to replace deacons or to simply re-elect deacons in office. The deacons shall assist the pastor in serving the Lord's Supper and in administering believers' baptism. The deacons and the pastor shall serve as the church discipline committee. Keep that in mind when you vote. And the deacons shall serve as the pulpit committee of the church unless they choose to recommend a church-appointed pulpit committee as provided in another article. The deacons of this church should never be thought of as holding an office or as of ruling elders. Well, you may have that situation where one of these days my office is terminated through death or some other means, and then you'd have to function smoothly. All that's in your bylaws. And one of the things is that they would also help as a pulpit committee in this church being able to find the pastor that God would choose to have lead us, whether it's from our own men that are already here or from some other direction. So that's what the charge of a deacon is. Okay, with all that said, and so that you know what that involves from the Scripture, the deacons have met, and I've met with them. We've prayed. As I said, we've prayed with Tony and Randy. And the name that has been selected, if you will, that has risen, if you will, from the men that are here, was Jerry Hibbets. My question to you as a congregation is this: how many of you would say you would like to have Gerald Hibbets as your new deacon? Signify by saying, "I." Anybody here that would say to me, preacher? No. Amen. Amen. Blake, you are officially relieved. We'll have your change of command in just a minute. He's used to all that. What I would like us to do at this point then is to have the opportunity to pray together. And I would also like for Doyle and Mike and Randy and Tony and Blake, if you would please, meet me here. Jerry, I'd like you to meet us up here. And let's pray as a church that God will bless the work of these men in this ministry and of our new deacon. Go, my friend, if you will just kneel down here. There you go. You guys gather around here. All right, gentlemen. And what I'd like us to do is, Doyle, I'd like you to pray. Blake, I'd like you to pray. And Randy, I'd like you to close for us.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come here tonight to have Jerry join us as a deacon in this church and this ministry. And I know he'll use him mightily, Lord, to carry out the responsibilities of Brother Welder and the ministry.
Amen, amen, amen. All righty. Thank you. They used to do a change of command in the Navy, right?
I do stand relieved.
Yeah. Amen.